Welcome to Wall Street Unspun with your host, Peter Schiff.
But it's a giant bubble in search of a pin, and it's going to find one.
Are you confused with the ups and downs of the economy and what it means to you?
Don't believe the propaganda, and that's what it is. When you're listening to an analyst on a lot of these popular financial shows, you're not getting investment advice. You're getting propaganda.
Get ready to untangle the web of misinformation provided by the mainstream media.
These firms are trying to sell you stocks. Their real clients, their banking clients, are trying to get rid of stuff.
And now, here's your host of Wall Street Unspun, the president of Euro Pacific Capital and a licensed broker with a passion for truth. It's Wall Street Unspun with Peter Schiff.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome again to this week's edition of Wall Street Unspun, the midweek market outlook. And I'm Peter Schiff. I'm the host for the program. I'm the president of Euro Pacific Capital, for those of you who are new to the program. And Euro Pacific Capital is a full-service brokerage firm. We're registered now in all 50 of the United States. And where we're different is we're basically telling it like it is. I don't pull my punches. I tell the truth. And unfortunately, the truth is not a pretty picture. When it comes to U.S. investments, when it comes to the U.S. stock market, the U.S. bond market, and most importantly, the U.S. dollar, the currency in which all U.S. investments are denominated. And the problem is the dollar is fatally flawed right now. The dollar, I believe, is on the verge of a significant collapse. I think it's going to lose the overwhelming majority of its purchasing power. I don't think the dollar is just going to drop another 10 or 20%. I think it's going to be a lot worse than that. I think the dollar is going to lose more than 50% of its current value. How much more? Well, depends on the reaction to what's about to happen by the powers that be here in the United States to a very, very severe economic recession or depression, whatever it's going to be called, that's going to ensue. Because the problem we're going to have when the dollar collapses and foreigners basically stop subsidizing American consumption, they're going to sell our financial assets, and the dollar is going to fall, and U.S. interest rates are going to rise, and they're going to rise sharply. And when that happens, you have an economy in America that's completely dependent on low interest rates, and low interest rates prop up our asset markets, particularly residential real estate, but also the stock market. And when interest rates go up, those asset markets are going to collapse, and all the consumer spending that those assets make possible, because those assets are pledged as collateral by American consumers who go out and take loans at low rates of interest and buy all sorts of consumer goods that are, of course, imported. And all this is going to come to an end. And depending on how the politicians and the Fed react to this will depend on how much more than half of its value the dollar ultimately loses. But what I'm trying to accomplish with my clients and with anybody who might decide to become a client based on listening to this broadcast is we don't want to wait around with dollars to find out how bad it's going to be. What we want to do is get out of the dollar in advance so we find out how bad it is from a safe vantage point. And a safe vantage point means building a diversified portfolio of conservative dividend and interest paying foreign assets, like utilities and real estate trusts and energy trusts and corporate and government bonds and high quality assets. And the time to do that is now. I mean, the dollar has been moving sideways since the first of the year, and it's providing a window of opportunity for people to get out of the dollar before the next major leg down. And I have a feeling that the next leg down is going to be a huge leg, because it's going to encompass breaking the long-term support for the U.S. dollar going back to the early 1990s. And when we break that support, I think it's going to be like opening a floodgate. And the dollar is just going to implode. And I think it's going to be very difficult for me to help clients at that point get out of the dollar, because I think it's going to be falling so rapidly, it's going to be very difficult to do. So right now, while we're in this trading range, it's a lot easier, and people need to get their act together and get their money out of the dollar now, before the spigot opens. Anyway, again, I want to give everybody the telephone number to call. The lines are open. I know we've got one caller on already. I'll get to him in a minute, but let me give out the telephone number to call toll-free, 888 678-9597. That's for your phone calls that talk to me about the economy, about the stock market, the dollar, the housing market, anything related to investments or politics. If you're a client, call up and discuss your experience so far with Euro Pacific Capital, good or bad. And if you're a potential client, call up and ask a question about how we might be able to help you. Anyway, the number is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. Let's take our first caller. We've got George calling from Maryland. Go ahead, George.
Hey, Peter, how you doing? I'm a potential client. I've been buying precious metals for the last 4 years, converting my Federal Reserve notes into something, you know, value. Want to sort of diversify. I listened to you the last couple broadcasts, and I think you're right on target, and there's no doubt about it. And I had talked to Bruce Otterman, actually, and he was talking about the Perth Mint as well as the Rogers Fund, and I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
Yeah, oh, those are two products that we have been introducing and making available to our clients for a number of years. And if you're already buying precious metals, the Perth Mint is just another way to do that, and that's my preferred way. Because I think it represents the lowest cost way for clients to accumulate physical precious metals, and I think most importantly to have those metals stored safely in a foreign location, which I think could be very important in the event that the U.S. government at some point outlaws ownership of gold, which it has done in crises in the past. And I think you'll have a better chance of not having to turn it over if it's in Australia. And if it's in a vault or in a mint owned by a government entity over there. And so the beauty of the Perth Mint is you can buy and sell gold, silver, and platinum. You're basically trading near the spot price. And you're doing it without any shipping costs, any insurance costs, or any storage fees. And you get a certificate from the mint that evidences your ownership. But the precious metals never physically come into the country unless, of course, you want to take delivery, which is your option. At any time that you want, you can have your certificates redeemed in actual bullion, and you can designate how you want that. Do you want it in bars? Do you want it in coins? And, you can look on their website and see the various coins and bars that the mint mints, and you can take, your coins at any time. The only thing is you'd have to pay to have them shipped to you, and you'd have to pay for the fabrication fees. But if you were to buy the coins outright initially anywhere, you'd have to pay those fees anyway. So the beauty of this program is if you never actually take a possession of the coins, you don't pay for all the expense related to creating the coins and shipping the coins and storing the coins. And so it's a great way to own gold. Now, the Rogers Fund, which is not necessarily available to everybody because it's not blue-skied in all 50 states, so you need to call up to find out if this is a fund that is blue-skied in the state where you're able to invest. And again, we're living in a highly regulated industry, the brokerage industry, and unfortunately, the U.S. government in all the different states, all the different 50 states, have their own rules. And, they're theoretically designed to protect investors, but they really don't protect investors at all. Investors are losing a ton of money, even with all this regulation. All they really do is protect the brokerage industry from competition, and they line the government's pockets. And I think, in anything, that they make it difficult for the smaller operators to get good investment products into the hands of their clients. For example, if my mother were living in a state where, let's say, I wasn't registered, the government would not allow me to do business with my mother, theoretically, to protect my mother from... Anyway, the Rogers Fund is basically a way to play a pure play on raw materials. They own a basket of 35 different commodities. There's no leverage, and it's just a way to buy and hold a basket of commodities for the long run. And the beauty of the fund is they do rebalance it on a monthly basis to reflect changes in relative prices. So I think it's a great way to have a conservative portfolio of raw materials. And so for people who want more information on the Rogers Fund, you need to give us a call. We can find out if it's a fund that's available in your area, and if it is, we can get out. We can send you a prospectus and talk to you about it. The Perth Mint is available pretty much across the country, and it's very straightforward. But it's a great way to buy precious metals.
I have one other question. My dad's 75, and he just cashed in an annuity. What would you suggest or recommend? What recommendations would you make for him?
Well, your dad is 75 years old, and people of that age are generally looking for preservation of principal or purchasing power and current income, because generally when you're 75, you're not working, so you rely on the income that your investments produce to pay for your cost of living, your daily, expenses. And so what I would recommend is that he contact us and open up an account, and we would recommend, the conservative portfolio of foreign dividend-paying assets. Generally, we buy a lot of real estate investment trusts around the world and utilities and value stocks with high dividends, and particularly those that are in the raw materials or commodities industries, mining, oil and gas, and create for him, a portfolio that maybe yielded 8 to 10%, so that he would get checks on a monthly or a quarterly basis from that portfolio. But most importantly, the portfolio would be denominated in non-dollars and raw materials, so that as the dollar continues to lose value and the cost of living in America continues to move higher and higher, there would be a portfolio that would be able to rise in value, both the principal and the income that it produces. So as the cost of living goes up, those checks get bigger and bigger.
Well, I think he's, when I mentioned foreign stocks, he sort of made a face. I think a lot of people have that reaction. They sort of, a little leery about it. They feel maybe unsafe or whatever. How could you address that?
Somebody of your father's age, they grew up in America that's very different than the America that we live in. And basically, in the 1950s or the 1960s, people wouldn't have thought to invest internationally because America was the place to be. I mean, we were the greatest power in the world. We had the best economy. We were the freest people. We were the biggest current account creditor. We were flooding the world with high-quality, low-cost manufactured goods. The world owed us money. We were lending money to the rest of the world. It was a different America. And what he has to realize, what everybody has to realize, is that the situation is completely the opposite, that we are not the America that he remembers. We're a brand-new America. We're the biggest debtor nation in the world. We're the country that is borrowing money from people all around the world, not lending it. We're the country that's not manufacturing, that's living off of imports and living off of the charity and the foolishness of the rest of the world. I mean, we have to borrow money from the communist Chinese. Can you imagine? We have to borrow money from communist countries. And the only reason that we can consume is because communist countries produce the products for us. I mean, can you imagine in the 1970s or the 1980s, can you imagine if we were dependent on Russia? If we had to borrow money from Russia every year instead of lend money to Russia? If Americans were buying all their products and they were made in the Soviet Union? I mean, can you imagine how absurd that would have been? Hmm. That's the situation. We rely on that country for the products that we consume and for the money that we borrow. Americans couldn't take out a home mortgage today if it wasn't for the Chinese. So this is a different America, and people have to realize that the risks are now here, that America is where the risks are. And people have to understand that there is a giant change about to take place in the standard of living of every American, because the dollar is about to fall in value sharply, and it's going to make everything a lot more expensive for Americans, and Americans are going to start to live a much more frugal lifestyle. I mean, right now we're still living high on the hog, but we don't deserve it anymore. Years ago, we did deserve it. We deserved to live better than everybody else because we produced more than everybody else did. That's not the case anymore. We shouldn't be living better than people in other countries because we're producing a lot less. And also, what gave us the ability to outproduce the rest of the world was because we weren't shackled by the chains of government that everybody else was entangled in. We had limited government in this country. We had no taxes or low taxes. We didn't have income taxes at one point, or capital gains taxes, or Social Security taxes. We didn't have layers and layers of regulation. Our entrepreneurs were free to pursue their own self-interest, but in so doing, they lifted the standard of living of all the Americans. We had a comparative advantage in freedom. We've lost that. For the last 20 or 30 years, while we've been piling on more and more bureaucracy and having our economy weighed down with more taxes and more regulations, the rest of the world, particularly throughout Asia, has been going in the opposite direction. And so as we've been losing freedom, other people have been gaining theirs. And so we're not the free people relative to the rest of the world, so we can't produce like we could in the past. yet we're still living a good standard of living based on our reputation and based on the rest of the world's ability to finance our lifestyle on credit. See, back, you know, in the past, Americans paid for their own high standard of living. Now we don't. Now it's all a function of our ability to borrow from the rest of the world. That's coming to an end. And I don't think this is coming to an end in the distant future. I don't think this is something that future generations are going to have to deal with. This generation is going to have to deal with it, and we're going to be dealing with it right now. And maybe not next month, but, you know, we could. But I think that it's going to happen sometime in 2005, 2006 at the latest. And that's a very short period of time.
Peter, I couldn't agree with you more. You hit it right, like I say, you hit it right on the head. And it's amazing that it's so simple, it's so clear as the nose on your face. But yeah, you know, the rest of the world's, you know, running around, you know, just going about their business like everything's honky-dory. It's amazing, and you can't tell them. They don't want to hear the truth. But I'll be sure to record this show tomorrow once it's archived and give it to my dad, and I appreciate the information, and I'll probably be contacting Bruce to open up an account.
Working with you. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
You know, a lot of people are noticing this, right? You've got Warren Buffett. I've mentioned him numerous times. You've got Jimmie Rogers. You know, you've got, you know, Paul Volcker. You've got, you know, officials around the world. Look, I put an article up on my website today at www.europac.net. You know, actually, I noticed I forgot to update the news stories, but I just put out one. You know, the title of it is World Bank Warns U.S. to Cut Deficits. You know, more and more heads of foreign institutions and foreign governments are starting to talk about these problems. But these are real problems, and people have to do something about it. You know, don't wait for the U.S. government to tell you you got to protect yourself, because they're never going to do it. Don't wait for Wall Street. Don't wait for, you know, the big brokerage firms, right? Don't wait for these big wirehouse brokerage firms and investment banks to tell you to do this. They're never going to do it, right? Just like they didn't tell anybody to get out of the Internet. Right? These companies, these internet stocks, these are the same companies that kept buy recommendations on Enron and WorldCom right up until they went bankrupt. And then they put a hold on it. You know, they can't even tell you to sell them when they're in bankruptcy. So they never prepare their clients in advance, at least the retail. I'm sure behind the scenes, behind closed doors, these big brokerage firms, at least the guys in there that really know, they might be telling their top clients exactly what I'm telling you right now on this program, but they won't talk to about it in the press because they don't want to create a panic. You know, the only way their best clients can get out is if the rest of the world is in the dark, because the only way some of their clients can sell their dollars is if there's still a lot of people to take the other side of the trade. Just like going back to the dot-com mania, Wall Street didn't want the public to know the truth, because they were making too much money in investment banking deals bringing these internet stocks public. The only way they can make these fat fees taking these worthless companies and bringing them public at billion-dollar valuations was to keep the public clueless and greedy and to keep playing into their greed and their ignorance. Because if they told the public the truth, they couldn't have made all this money underwriting these deals. And sure, they all got their fingers slapped, and they all paid, you know, $50 million fines, $25 million fines, but they made billions. The fines were nothing compared to what these guys made ripping off the public. And I was a lone voice at that time telling people in 1998 and 1999 and 2000 that this was a scam, that nobody was going to make any money in these stocks, that 90%+ of them were going to go bankrupt. But, you know, would anybody listen? Some people did. But, you know, I was a lone voice, similar to where I am now. Although, you know, there were other people that were talking about it, you know, but we were in the minority. And we're in the minority again, talking about the risks of the dollar. But it's going to happen, you know, and this is going to be a lot bigger. The fallout from the bursting of the dollar bubble, which is going to also burst the bubbles that it supports, the housing bubble, the stock market bubble, the bond market bubble, and the entire U.S. economy rests on all these bubbles. And once the dollar goes, they're all going to go. Anyway, we've got another call on the line. We've got Rich calling from New York. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, Peter. How are you? Yeah, I've been a client for a few years with you, and we had bought some stock, and from the dividends, we just took those dividends from that one stock and put it into another one. You know, I think it was a real estate stock that we just bought now. But I'm just really pleased, you know, with the performance of the stocks and just your whole message, you know, it's just really good.
Well, I appreciate it. How long have you been a client?
Probably 3 years, I think.
Have you referred any of your friends to us?
Everybody I talk to, anytime they mention, stocks or they're thinking of buying this, I said, before you do anything, you know, I always send them to the website and I say, listen to the archive programs and, you know, Wednesday night, Wednesday night he has a show and I send everybody that, whether they do it or not, that's, you know, because we talk, I'll tell them, you know, the dollar's not doing real good, you know, it's going to, you know, it's heading for the dumper and this, that, yeah. And what they do is, I don't know, you know, what they do is their business, but I mean, I refer everybody.
Yeah.
I think they'd be foolish not to, you know, it's just, I'm just so pleased, you know. In fact, when we first bought some stock with you, I think it was a gold stock, doesn't matter, but, you know, I never realized, you know, I guess I'm just so ingrained to the old way of thinking, you know, you buy a stock, wait for it to go up, sell it, you know, make your money, then you invest in something else when it's low, sell when it's high, and never realized. I think I called up a year or two later and spoke, because the stock was going up and down, and I spoke to one of your guys there, I think it was Chip, and I never even realized that you got all this, the dividends.
Oh, yeah, well, the dividends, I mean...
Yeah, exactly.
That's what stock investing is all about. But Wall Street conned everybody. See, Wall Street got everybody to believe that you didn't need to get a dividend. They said, you don't need a dividend. You're going to make it on the appreciation. So Wall Street conned investors into speculators.
Right.
So buying a stock without a dividend makes as much sense as buying a bond that doesn't pay interest. Oh, they got people doing those, too. They're called zeros. Or it makes about as much sense as buying rental property that doesn't produce any rental income. And you know what? That's what the realtors are doing now. You know, I'm reading all these stories on the internet on the newspapers about people who are thinking they're investing in the real estate market. They're buying condos, right? But what's happening is the rents that they're collecting are not enough to cover the mortgage payment on the property. So I remember reading this story about this woman who made her first investment in the condo market, and she mentioned how, you know, it costs her several hundred dollars a month. She loses because she's got to pay the mortgage and the rent's not enough. And she said, well, I guess this is how it is when you invest in real estate. You've got to lose money every month so that you can make it up on the appreciation.
Yeah.
So just like Wall Street turned stock investing into speculating, now the real estate brokers have convinced people that you buy rental properties for the appreciation.
Right. It's like going to a casino. Buying stocks or doing this, you know, it's like going to a casino, throw your money, you may win, you may lose.
It's all based on one form of it's called a Ponzi scheme or a pyramid.
Exactly. Yeah.
Basically, you don't make money from the return on the investment. You make money by selling it to a greater fool at a higher price. And the problem with that is, just like all pyramids, eventually you run out of greater fools, and there's one group of fools left holding the bag.
Exactly.
And I think right now there's a lot of people in that camp who are going to left holding the bag in the stock market, the bond market, the real estate market, and the dollar.
Yeah, you're right.
And anyway, what I'm trying to get people to do is make sure that as many of my clients pass off that bag to somebody else so they don't get stuck with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Hot potato. You know, you don't want it, and that's the dollar. And I mentioned, too, I read an article analysis about it. I wish I'd have thought of it myself, and I forget who wrote about it. But he compared it to the old maid in the card game. The dollar is the old maid in the deck. And if you get stuck with it at the end, you lose.
Yep.
But what do you do when you get the old maid? You pass it.
That's right.
We have to be glad that most of the world is still ignorant and hasn't woken up to this reality, because the minute the world wakes up to this, or the minute a significant minority wake up to it, it's game over.
It's over, exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, the guy that just called up, the first caller, you know, he said he was, if he's still listening, the best thing you can do is invest with Euro Pacific. That's the best thing you can do. Anybody else that's listening that's, you know, on the fence or thinking, should I, shouldn't I,
yeah,
the best thing they can do is go with you. Because, you know, you tell it like it is. And, you know, I wonder, when I first got the email, when you first were coming on the show or going to put the show on, I remember the first or second show you said, I'm the only stockbroker that'll have a call-in program, because anyone else, you know, any of the other standard Wall Street brokers probably wouldn't, because people wouldn't have anything good to say.
Oh, of course. I mean, yeah, the average, I mean, there's no way a brokerage for a broker, a Wall Street firm, would be allowed. I mean, their firm would just, they wouldn't even allow them. But if they did allow it, they would be inundated with complaints. All people would do is call up and complain about how much money they lost.
Exactly.
And yeah, so, I mean, so, and I, yeah, there's no screener. I take every call, and anybody can call. And any current client, any past client that, you know, I'm sure one of these days I'll get somebody calling and complaining. But, I mean, so far we haven't. I've been doing the show for some time now.
Well, yeah, I haven't heard anybody. Everybody's, you know, either speculating, wanting to come in, or thinking about it, and or, you know.
But anyway, hey, great for the call. I want to pause and take a break, and we've got some other people on hold. And I want to actually play a message about Euro Pacific Capital, too, so people know how to get a hold of us.
Good talking to you, Peter.
Rich? Anyway, let's play that message, and we'll pick up and take your calls at the other end of this commercial.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that is passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Okay, we're back on the program, and I'm going to go to your phone calls in a minute. But also, what I want to talk about again on this show is we got a lot of economic data that came out on Friday. And I want to go over that data because it really confirmed my forecasts again on the employment numbers. Remember, last week at this time, I told you that Wall Street was looking for 220,000 jobs to be created, and I predicted that they would be disappointed once again. And they created less than half of what was estimated, and they revised last month's figures down. In addition, we got news on Friday. Inflation news. We got the report issued by the who was it that did that report? The Institute for Supply Management came out with their prices paid index, which surged from 65 to 73, a big jump. So the news that we got on Friday was that the economy wasn't nearly as strong as Wall Street was predicting based on the number of jobs it created, while inflation was a lot worse based on the prices paid components. So what is that? Again, it's stagflation. It's the economy slowing down and prices continuing to accelerate. Now, the dollar, paradoxically, it reacted to that news. It initially sold off sharply in advance after the weak jobs numbers, but then it rose sharply as soon as the high inflation numbers came out. And I want to talk about that next because I did an economic commentary today about this topic again. And you can read it. It's up on my site right now at www.europac.net. I titled it, "Hello, Inflation is Not Good for the Dollar." And so I want to talk about that as well. But in the meantime, let me pick up with Bruce, who's on the phone from Iowa. Go ahead, Bruce.
Thanks, Peter. I had a question. I am a client of yours, and I own some real estate, some rental properties, and I have no debt on them. Would you take out money against those and invest them in something else, or would you sell the real estate?
Well, I mean, there are a couple of things. Okay, first of all, personally, I'd probably sell the real estate. I mean, I think that, you know, if you can get a good price for it. I mean, the only real estate I think is worth owning in the United States would be farmland or anything with natural resources on it where I want the resources, you know, the value of the resources.
Even with farmland as high as it, I mean, we're at record prices per acre here in Iowa.
Excuse me?
We are at, farmland is selling for record prices in Iowa right now. It's never been this high.
Well, I think it's going to go higher. I mean, you're in Iowa. I mean, I think that farm prices are going to go higher. I mean, I don't know, unless people are buying farmland there and building condos on it or something. But you know, if for the raw land, I think that's fine. But I also think that it doesn't make sense. I mean, this is my point of view, to own it without debt. Because I think the way a lot of people are going to make money in the real estate market is by having their debt wiped out. So what, and this is, you know, this is a strategy that is not without risk, and if people are going to do this, they need to talk to us about it, not just listen to a broadcast. But what I think makes sense is to go out and borrow money against the property if you're not going to sell it. If you can get a loan, let's say a 30-year loan at 6%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you could take that money that you borrowed, right, and invest it conservatively in, let's say, real estate trusts around the world. So you're borrowing against U.S. real estate at 6%. I can invest it, let's say, in foreign real estate trusts at 7 or 8%. Now, what happens is the dividends that you get on your foreign investments pay the mortgage on your loan. Now, if I'm right and the dollar collapses in value, let's say the dollar falls by 50%. Let's say that you've just equaled it, that your dividends are covering your mortgage. Well, if the dollar falls by 50%, all of a sudden your foreign dividends are twice as big as your monthly mortgage payment. And now you've got this huge positive cash flow on the situation, not to mention the fact that your foreign assets are now twice as valuable in dollars. And if the dollar were to, let's say the dollar were to lose 90% of its value in a crash, you can, with 1 year's worth of dividend income, you can pay off the entire mortgage. And now you own two assets. You own your land in Iowa for free without a mortgage because you paid it off, and now you still own this asset outside the country. So you can make a lot of money if this scenario pans out. The only way it doesn't work is if I'm wrong. If the dollar all of a sudden has a sharp rise, then all of a sudden the income that you're getting on your foreign assets isn't enough to service your debts. And then the value of your foreign assets is contracted. So it's not without risk. If you do this strategy and I'm wrong, you can lose.
Well, but except I would still...
You can win big, huh?
I would still be getting rental income from the property.
Oh, right. But what happens is, let's assume the dollar goes on a huge increase in value.
Right.
That's going to diminish the value of the income that we're getting on these properties, and all of a sudden you might go from positive cash flow to negative cash flow.
Right.
Now, I think the odds of that happening are minute. I mean, I could be wrong, but I just can't see any way the dollar can have a significant gain. I mean, it's amazing to me why it already hasn't collapsed.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's not a question of will the dollar collapse. It's a question of when is it going to collapse.
Right.
Because I don't see any way out of this box. And neither do people like, you know, Paul Volcker, and neither do people like Warren Buffett. That's why they're doing the same thing.
Right.
And that's why you've got foreign officials around the world warning the United States. I mean, this has never happened before. I mean, we've never had a situation where the IMF, the World Bank, where leaders of foreign countries and foreign central banks are warning the United States about the problems that it's creating.
Yeah.
I mean, how many bells have to ring before the average American will wake up and realize what's going on? I mean, the average guy is too intoxicated based on the home equity that he's got.
Yep.
Everybody thinks they're rich now because they live in a house.
Right.
And they think that they don't have to worry anymore because their house is going to go up every year and they can borrow money against it.
Right.
But people have to wake up and they got to pull their head out of the clouds and realize that, you know, there's that old expression, you know, whom the gods will destroy, they first make mad. and that's what's going on right now. I mean, the average American is just is crazy. He doesn't realize what's about to happen because he's insane. And he's been blinded by the phantom wealth of real estate, and he's listening to the propaganda of Wall Street and the real estate world and the government, who all have vested interests in maintaining their ignorance because they're profiting from it.
I'm afraid so.
Well, hey, Bruce, I forget, were you a client of ours?
I am. I have been since November, and I've been very pleased, and I have told my friends about it. I also got my mother an account with you. Like I said, so far, we're very pleased.
Well, great. You know, if anybody, you know, we're going to be in Las Vegas, too, for the Money Show. It's coming up in May. And so anybody in the Las Vegas area... I forget the exact date of that money show, but it's coming up, and that's an opportunity for people to meet us in person, And certainly, you know, we have a lot of clients we've never met. Anyone that lives in the Las Vegas area should come down to the Money Show. I mean, for sure, we're going to have a booth. I'll be giving a presentation there. And so people have a chance to spend some time with us. A couple of the brokers are going to be there. John Catalfio is going to be there, and Chris Rieger. So you have a chance to meet two of our brokers, and of course, I'll be there. And it's certainly worth a trip to Las Vegas, too. It's a good excuse to go to Vegas. You know, there's some new casinos that have been built there. Of course, that new one, Wynn, is up there. I'm interested in seeing that one myself. I haven't been to that casino yet. But it's always a great time to go to Las Vegas, and it's a good excuse to get there. And for some of you, you might be able to use it as a tax write-off. A lot of clients can write off these trips because they're going to an investment conference, and it's an investment expense. And it's a good opportunity for people to come and listen to us. Yeah, here's the date. I knew John would IM me this. It's May 10th through the 12th in Las Vegas. It's at the Paris is where the Money Show is. And so be a good opportunity. If you have any friends over there, send them over to Las Vegas.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
All right, again, let me give out the telephone number. The lines are free. The number to call toll-free to participate in the discussion is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. Well, again, I wanted to get to the economic data, the big economic data that came out last week. And, of course, last Wednesday on this program, I went out on the limb once again and predicted that the jobs numbers would be weak. You know, would be a lot less than what Wall Street had predicted. And once again, I was correct. We were under by over 100,000 jobs. And I forget how, maybe I've been doing this program now for about 6 months, and so I think we've had monthly job reports, and I think all but one of them disappointed. And this is consistent. And here, one of the most interesting things, of course, is I was watching CNBC when the jobs numbers came out. And, of course, Larry Kudlow, they always have Larry Kudlow on. Whenever there is a monthly jobs number that comes on every month, CNBC brings out their big bull gun, Larry Kudlow, who is bullish no matter what. I mean, talk about people like to call me a perma bear. Well, if I'm a perma bear, I mean, Larry Kudlow is the poster boy for being a perma bull. And he's always out there predicting, oh, the job numbers are going to be great. They're going to be way better than expected. And, of course, he predicted it once again. And once again, he was wrong. In fact, the only time I ever saw Larry Kudlow predict that the jobs data would be less than expected was the one time that it was more than expected. So he's always wrong. I mean, he's never been right on anything that I can remember. And they should have a disclaimer. You know, when he goes on CNBC, they should have a disclaimer underneath him that he's never been right, so people don't foolishly take what this guy says seriously. But after the jobs numbers came out weaker than expected, right? What Larry Kudlow did was he immediately said, well, you know, the jobs numbers don't mean anything. I mean, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you know, of course, if that number had came out higher than expected, he would have been saying, hey, see, great news. It shows how great everything is, but it comes out weaker than expected. And so what does he do? He says, well, the numbers don't really matter. The government doesn't really calculate it right. You know, no matter what that number is, Kudlow and CNBC are going to find a way to tell everybody that it's great and it means you should go out there and buy more stocks and buy more bonds and, of course, enrich the sponsors of that network. In any event, I think we've got a couple of calls on the line now. We've got David on the line from Florida. Go ahead, David.
Enjoy your...
David, are you there?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I just want to say hi, and I really enjoy your advice that you've been giving out on your shows. I'm a new customer for your account there. And is there any things that you can do to protect your home and your mortgages and that sort of thing that you'd suggest?
Well, I mean, certainly, number one, I mean, it's easier said than done, especially if you're married, is you can sell your house right now while you can. Mm-hmm. Because the prices that you can get are insane, and you can take the money that you get from selling your house after you pay off your mortgage, and I can invest it for you in an income-producing portfolio, and the dividends that you get on that portfolio will be more than enough to pay your rent in a house probably twice as good as the one you sold. That's the beauty of the situation. You can get so much money now for selling a house. Mm-hmm. You can buy a portfolio that provides you with enough rental income to basically live someplace for free. So you no longer have a mortgage. You no longer have to pay any property taxes. This is a brief window and opportunity where you can sell these assets for a lot more than they're worth. So either you sell your house. If you can't persuade your wife to do that or you don't want to do that, make sure you have a fixed rate mortgage. If you have a variable rate mortgage, and if anybody that's listening to me has a variable rate mortgage, refinance it tomorrow. Get a 30-year fixed, because the way you're going to make money is that, you know, when you're making your mortgage payments in 5 or 6 years, your mortgage payments will be what it costs you to buy a tank of gas. You won't even notice it. So what you want to do is take advantage, get a mortgage for as long as you can, fix at the lowest rate that you can qualify for. Don't fool around with these ARMs. Don't buy this crap, because the reason that the banks want to sell this stuff is because it transfers the risk to you. They don't want to take the risk that rates go up. But, of course, the irony of it is they are taking the risk, because the people they're lending their money to, they've got one ace up their sleeve. They can just walk away from the loans and give the properties back to the bank. But in any event, that's what you can do to protect yourself, is make sure you have a fixed rate mortgage. And if you can borrow more money against your house, you know, again, this is a strategy that's not without risk, but you can borrow against it and invest it safely abroad to get income coming in foreign assets that will help you pay that mortgage.
All right, that sounds pretty good. My mother-in-law is a recent widow, and I've talked her into opening an account with you to protect and save her small investments that she does have right now. So.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it. And I'll take as good care of your mom's account as I am with my own mother's.
All right. Well, I appreciate
with us too.
Your hard work.
All right, well, thanks for the call. You know, I remember my own mother, too, used to complain. You know, back in the 1998, 9, and 2000, of course, I used to get complaints from my mother because her account was doing so poorly compared to all of her friends, you know, who, of course, were following the advice of Wall Street brokers and who were buying all the Internet stocks. And, of course, I wouldn't let my mother buy any of those stocks. And, you know, all of her friends were teasing her, and, you know, she, you know, out of loyalty to me, I mean, the only thing that stopped her from doing it was me, you know. And, of course, she was, you know, felt bad, and she was missing out, and I just told her to wait. And, of course, a couple years later, all of her friends were broke, all their profits were gone, and of course, her account is twice what it was then. You know, it's like the tortoise and the hare. We did the right thing, we did the smart thing, and, you know, it was difficult for a while because all these fools thought they were making so much money. And the same thing has happened today in the real estate market. You have a lot of people that are counting their chips while they're still at the table. You know, all that's going to happen when the real estate bubble bursts is the profits are going to be gone, but the mortgages are still going to be there. And for a lot of people, the mortgages are going to be there in spades because they've got adjustable rate mortgages, and they're going to be paying much higher rates of interest. Anyway, I want to pause quickly. I know we've got a couple of calls on the line. I want to play that message again from Euro Pacific Capital to give our listeners a little bit more information about how to get a hold of us. So let's play that, and we'll pick up for your calls at the end of the break.
Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that is passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Okay, we're back. And let's go straight to your phones, to the phones to take your calls. We've got Joel on the line from Tennessee. How you doing, Joel?
Doing fine. I was wondering, when you buy your investments and they pay dividends, do they pay dividends in dollars or euros?
Well, I mean, they pay dividends in euros if they're a European asset. I mean, depending on which country the asset is based, that's the currency in which we collect the dividends. Now, generally what we do for most clients is when we get those dividends, we convert them to dollars for them, because a lot of the clients, of course, need the income, and so we can't send you a check in euros. because you can't take euros to the grocery store or to the gas station. So what we do is we convert them for you and put them in your account in dollars, and then you have access to them. But they're coming to us in those currencies, and that's what we want, because as the dollar goes down, every time we get a dividend, the dividend buys more and more dollars.
Yeah, and do you take IRAs?
Yeah, I mean, you can have an IRA, I mean, IRA or any kind of retirement account, pensions, profit sharings. I mean, you can buy these foreign stocks in any type of account that you want. And the beauty of it is a lot of the foreign stocks, of course, pay qualified dividends, which means you still qualify, if you're buying it in a taxable account, you qualify for the lower 15% tax. And also, you know, there's a lot of clients don't realize this, but, you know, there's a lot of taxes that we pay on a lot of these foreign stocks. But all the taxes that we pay on these dividends, you can get it back on your U.S. income tax return for a foreign tax credit. So a lot of these investments are paying tax credits as well.
Right. And if you say the dollar's going to plunge, would you advise, to go buy a home on a 30-year loan at a low interest, then let the dollar...
I'm not advising anyone to buy a home. I think that if you want to buy... I just wouldn't want to buy real estate in the United States right now. I think in a couple of years, it'll be dirt cheap.
Yeah.
But if you're going to buy a home, if somebody's going to make that mistake, right?
Yeah.
Then you definitely want to do it with borrowed money. You could go and borrow money and put nothing down and borrow money and buy a house and take a 30-year mortgage, and the way you're going to make money is not because you bought the house, but because you went into debt, and you'll be able to pay off the debt, and you might end up owning that house free and clear.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if you could...
Reason not to do that, but, I mean, you could do that, and the only way that I would recommend buying a house is if you're going to do it with nothing down. There's no reason to put any money into the deal, especially if banks are dumb enough to let you buy a house with nothing down, because the beauty of buying it with nothing down is if, you know, the real estate market collapses, you still have the option of just giving the house back to the bank. And if you put nothing down, you don't have anything to lose.
Right.
So,
I wonder if you could send me some information on your company.
Yeah, well, what you got to do is call my office. You know, they can send you some information. It's 800-727-7922. Or the best way to get information on the company is just go to my website. Right? It's www.europac.net. www.europac.net. There's all the information you need. You can read about the company, how long it's been around, the principals, I mean, the people that work there. You can read about our philosophy. You can listen to, you know, all these broadcasts I've been doing. You can read all my economic commentary. I've got a couple of video interviews of myself on the website. You can learn all you need to know about Euro Pacific Capital by spending some time on the website. And I would really encourage you to do that. I would encourage everybody listening to this program who hasn't been to the Euro Pacific Capital website to spend some time on that site. You know, you should visit that site every day, too, because you never know when I have a new commentary up there. And every day I put articles that are important, articles about the dollar, about the economy, about oil, about interest rates. I put articles that I think are worthy of attention on that website every day.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Joel. And now we've got Harry on the line from Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, hi, Peter. We talked earlier today regarding my account, and for some reason I am a little leery about buying real estate investment trust and other, even if it's foreign.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I put all my eggs in one basket.
Which basket was that?
Well, I bought the Canadian stuff, the
trust.
Yeah, well, I guess they're energy, they're gas and oil,
uh-huh,
exploration stocks and things. And we talked about it earlier today. That I was down a little bit on those investments.
Yeah, well, you just purchased them within,
right,
about a week ago, and yeah, there has been some volatility in those oil and gas trusts in the last couple of weeks. They were all up today. But, you know, they had a pretty sharp fall. I think some of the weaker players got nervous and sold because they thought oil prices would collapse and people were talking about the dollar is going to strengthen. I think all this is nonsense, but I think some people got scared. And when a lot of people rush to sell at the same time, price drops. That's what happens, in a market.
Do you think the future for this investment is pretty good?
Well, of course. I mean, if we didn't think that the future was good for these investments, we wouldn't be recommending them.
That doesn't mean that we're right. I mean, obviously, we could be wrong. But if you look at oil and gas, I mean, oil prices right now, oil's about $56 a barrel. Another thing that's happened since our last program last Wednesday, of course, is that oil made a new all-time record high. We got to about, I think, $58 a barrel, you know, or 57.5 or almost $58. And we pulled back a little bit, but we're still about 56.5. But and also what's happened since our last broadcast was Goldman Sachs came out with a research report that predicted that oil could spike as high as $105 a barrel in I guess in the next year or two. And I agree. I mean, I've been saying oil can go to 100 for years, but I don't think it's just going to go there on a spike. I think it's going to go there and stay there and keep going. You know, I mean, thinking about it from a point of view of, I mean, before you invested in these oil trusts, you had your money in dollars, right?
Right.
So you used to have dollars, and now you have oil and gas reserves. And think about it this way. What would you rather own? Dollars, which are abundant, and which the supply of them is growing dramatically, yet demand around the world is contracting, right? Or would you rather have your eggs, would you rather own oil, where the supply is limited and demand is skyrocketing? You follow me?
You think my strategy is okay?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the world, unless somebody comes up tomorrow and figures out how to get how to survive without oil and natural gas, right? Eventually, at some point in the future, you know, the world's not going to use fossil fuels, either because we run out of them or because someone comes up with something better. But in the next 5 or 10 years, that ain't happening. The world's going to need oil and natural gas. They're going to need it a lot more than they need dollars. And you know, they're printing dollars a lot faster than they're discovering new oil reserves. And so if it comes to what do you want to base your future purchasing power on, the value of the oil and gas that you could own or the value of these little bits of paper that the government is printing like it's going out of style, I think it's a hands down.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think the dollar's dead. To say.
And what you were able to do, You were able to get rid of these dollars that are soon to lose most of their value, and in exchange, somebody gave you all their oil and gas for your dollars.
Now, if I have funds in another brokerage account, they're like an Oppenheimer fund. Are they dollar backed or?
What's the fund? It depends on what the fund owns.
They're international raw materials and energy funds.
Yeah, no. I mean, if they're in international raw materials and energies, that's probably one of the few Oppenheimer funds that is probably not a bad investment. I mean, I don't know who the manager is, but certainly those are the asset classes that you want to be in. And if they own, now, the other thing is it's possible they could have done some foreign currency hedging. You got to look at the perspective. See, sometimes these mutual funds do hedging, and you don't want that. You don't want somebody to hedge you back to the dollar. So, you know, you just got to look at the prospectus and make sure. The chances are, usually the equity funds don't hedge too much. It's the bond funds that end up doing a lot of hedging, which, you know, in my opinion, defeats the purpose of the fund. But the equity funds probably aren't hedged, so you're probably okay with that fund.
How about, do you know of a company called PIMCO?
Yeah, PIMCO has a commodity-based fund as well.
Right, and I bought, I think, their energy
fund. I mean, PIMCO, of course, is headed by Bill Gross. And Bill Gross is saying many of the same things that I'm saying. Of course, he's toning it down. You know, he wants to be accepted, you know, in the mainstream on Wall Street. And so, you know, these guys pull their punches a little bit, just like Stephen Roach and Morgan Stanley. But I bet if I got those two in a room, if Stephen Roach and Bill Gross and I were in a room together, we would probably disagree on very little. And we probably privately, they'd say, I agree with you. I wish I could say some of this stuff. But these guys are muzzled somewhat by, their attempts to stay in the mainstream. They don't want to seem too out there. But, I mean, I'm already out there, so I've got nothing to lose. So I tell it like it is.
Well, you have a fan of mine. I'm a fan because I've been hearing this for a long time. And a talk show host, she's a syndicated talk show host, and she was talking about, you know, some of your commentaries and things like that, and she's been talking about the same stuff that you've been talking about.
She's mentioned my commentaries?
Well, she's read them on your internet site.
Oh, God, I didn't even know that. Hey, you know, I just thought of something, too. This is an interesting, I just thought of this as a result of your question, but, you know, what everybody listening to this show should do, if you listen to talk shows, if you're listening to other talk shows, call them up. and talk about this issue and mention my name, mention my website. You know, I want to try to get more Americans to understand what's going on, and I think if a lot of the people who are listening to my program call up other talk shows, particularly if they're talking about investments or economics, and bring up these points, and you know, and tell the talk show host to call me. I mean, I'm willing to appear on a guest on anybody else's talk show, particularly, you know, on the bigger, the AM shows where I can reach a bigger audience, and I'm willing to talk and I'm willing to debate on the air if they want to bring somebody with an opposing point of view from a mainstream firm or an economist who wants to debate me on air about my predictions or my forecasts. I'm more than happy to do it. And maybe that'd be a way to generate some publicity.
Well, this person, her talk show is on satellite radio. I think it's 106.
Yeah, well, satellite is fine, but I'd love to get on some of the bigger, you know, the AM, the mainstream stuff.
They're mainstream.
And a lot of my people who are listening to this program probably listen to talk radio. And to call up and talk about, you know, hey, have you ever heard of Peter Schiff? Have you ever heard of Europe Pacific Capital? Here's what he's saying. You know, you ought to, you know, look at his site or, you know, something like that. I mean, who knows? I mean, I think it'd be an interesting experiment, and I certainly would like the opportunity to express these opinions on other talk shows, either as a guest or just to mention it and we get some more Americans listening to my show. Because I've often said the most important thing that we can do right now as Americans is accumulate as many foreign assets as we can. Because we realize that whatever dollars we have are going to collapse, and the only hope we have to help rebuild the country is to get money out of the country now so that we can have something of value to repatriate. So we got to try to get as many Americans as we can on board and out of the dollar before it's too late.
Well, my broker from another firm, I told him all about your website, and he agrees with you.
Oh, cool. What firm? Well, don't say anything on the air.
No. I wouldn't say the name of the firm.
Look, I'm sure there's a number of people out there who in private agree with me. But anyway, I thank you for your call, and thank you. Anyway, we've got another caller on the line. It's probably the last call we can take. We're only about 4 minutes left on the program. We've got George on the line calling from up north, up in Canada. How you doing, George?
Good. Yourself?
Doing well.
Excellent. I have a question regarding the uranium sector there. What are your thoughts on the long-term aspects of the uranium sector itself?
I mean, uranium, I'm actually very bullish on uranium and have been so for some time. Uranium prices, you know, are now about $22, $23 a pound, and a year and a half ago they were $6. Hmm. We're already talking about a commodity that's almost gone up 400%. And basically, I didn't even read anything about it in the mainstream or hear about it until maybe about 5 or 6 months ago when we had about tripled. So we've already made, you know, a lot of these stocks have gone up 10 or 20 fold in the last couple of years. But the situation with uranium is that the whole supply and demand balance has been turned upside down. You know, Russia, which used to be a major supplier of uranium, is now a major importer. And we used to get a lot of uranium. You know, I guess they were cannibalizing some of the old, you know, uranium used for nuclear. But that's all gone. And I think there were a lot of forward contracts that have expired. Meanwhile, they're building a lot of nuclear power plants right now in India, in China. And so we're going to get more nuclear power plants, especially as you know, the cost of gasoline rises. So the demand is just going to go through the roof for uranium. Meanwhile, you know, the actual price of uranium is a very small component of the actual cost of nuclear power, meaning uranium prices could double or triple again, and it doesn't make nuclear power uneconomical, yet nuclear power cannot happen without the uranium. So I think it's going up. I do have our favorite uranium stocks. I do have one that I like in particular. But if you, again, I don't talk about individual stocks generally on the air. If you want to hear the stocks that we like in uranium, just give us a call. Talk to any of our brokers at 800-727-7922. And again, the uranium stocks are very speculative. You know, this is more of a speculation. It's not like the conservative stocks, the oil and gas stocks.
Oh, I see. It's more of a speculative thing.
Yeah, because these stocks are not paying dividends by and large, and a lot of the ones that we're buying are just for getting on capital appreciation.
Yeah, I see. That's kind of the thoughts that I was looking at as well, too, because I know that China is looking at, obviously, more nuclear power plants, and with their growth out there and their hoarding of the oils, I think it's kind of the fair play
for the call.
Appreciation.
I need to cut you off. Thanks for the call. Again, thanks everybody for listening to me. Look forward to speaking with you again next week. This has been Peter Schiff, Wall Street Unspun, www.europac.net, 800-727-7922. So long.